Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
This is episode 179. Tom, top of the day to you.
Today! To you.
That was a good one.
Thank you.
Oh, there's energy in the room. I can feel it. This is going to be so good. I've watched a lot of stuff.
I too have watched many things.
Let's see if I can remember to talk about all of them.
I'm not going to talk about all of them because it's just too much.
Too much. I have done a very last minute quiz that is basically, no, I was going to say it's basically just guessing, but I think there could be some educated guesses.
Sure. You know, like a guess.
Yeah, nothing like
half the time guess. It's just having a wild punt.
Such a good guess. We have watched, well, I don't know, I have, Fear the Walking Dead.
Yeah.
And I've got lots of news.
I also have plenty of news and a few trailers.
We watched the same trailer and I'm excited to hear more about it because I suspect you know a little bit more about it.
It's going
to
be a good one. Yes. There's lots of good ones.
Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter. There's been some alarm around town this week with the zombie outbreak in neighbouring counties Stuff and Thangsville. Authorities have placed blockades on connecting roads, filled sandbags, charged as many rechargeable batteries as possible, collected hand sanitizer, acquired whole cargo containers of powdered turkey gravy, and have made full-body chicken wire suits for first responders to wear. We're being asked to stay indoors for now and watch the instructional How to Survive a Zombie Apocalypse series. There's 10 seasons and a couple of spin-offs. We're being recommended to ignore the Rick sweats, pay no attention to anything Morgan says or does, and not to tell children to look at the flowers. The local basketball under-12s team are raising funds to tour with the Harlem Globetrotters next year. Their mission is to learn all the cool skills and tricks and how to whistle the theme song. So if one of the kids comes up to you asking if you want to buy an old copy of NBA Jam for the Super Nintendo, get your wallet out for this good cause. Stephanie Willowtree will be kicking off her 24-hour Twitch stream tonight. She's planning on spending the hours making wicker baskets and chairs for her Etsy account. When asked how she thinks she'll go in terms of tiredness, she says she's written down a list of 3 a.m. worries that should keep her awake. That's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville.
Let's get into the news. I don't remember who went first last week, so I'm going to say your turn.
All right. Well, one that's got me very excited is apparently there are rumors flying that NetherRealm, who are the guys behind the Mortal Kombat series and also did the Injustice DC fighting game.
Yes.
There's rumors that they are working on a Marvel project.
Ooh.
I would be very interested in a Marvel Brutal Fighter. Now, I don't expect it to be like Injustice where they're not killing each other in the same way that Mortal Kombat is. But man, oh man, all those games are fun.
There was a game recently, it was like Marvel Avengers or something like that, and people were playing it and they're like, it's good, but then all of a sudden there's not much to do after a little bit. Maybe this one will fill that gap.
Well, I'm sure there will be a story mode, but it's just beat 'em up, you know, fighting action. And I don't normally care for those games too much. Mortal Kombat is my favorite of the old school fighting games and stuff.
Funny though.
It is very funny. Mm. And it's not quite as reliant as your Street Fighter or even Tekken as learning specific move sets, which is not my strong suit.
Yeah.
Just learn a couple of funny shit, occasionally pull off a babality or something like that.
Yeah, you just want to be able to do that one trick and do it well.
And the Injustice games were great. That was the first time that I can remember Aquaman being a full-on badass. He would summon sharks, great white sharks, that would burst through walls to attack people and stuff.
Eat people's heads?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, really like full-on gear.
Yeah, right.
So a Marvel game in that universe would be great.
Can you guess who some of the characters could be?
Number one, Wolverine is there.
Hulk,
yes. So you can fulfill your big archetypes. So your Hulk is your tank or your bruiser. You've got Wolverine is your slasher up close. Spider-Man would be your quick focused melee, jumping around all over the spot. Captain America will be your long distance, you know, keep away, throw the shield. Who else? Captain Marvel will be in there for sure as a blast.
What about Hawkeye?
Hawkeye would be a good
call.
Would
that be?
Because he'd be creative with the arrows and the trickster shots and stuff like that.
Yeah. He'd have to have different sorts of arrows.
I really want Punisher in there. He fits that world big time. I could see Taskmaster from the Black Widow movie coming up. He's someone who copies other people's movesets. So to have a character that his whole deal is just to copy whoever else is on screen would be very clever.
Yeah, and maybe like the gameplay mechanic in that move would be, in order to learn the move, you have to stand there not doing anything and just holding a button for a little bit. So yeah. It's like
observe.
Yeah, so you're a bit vulnerable whilst that happens, but then once. So you have to kind of time it correctly and then you can get the move and then you're good to go. But it's a bit of a risk.
For sure. I like it.
They should be talking to us about this.
I know. Get Shang-Chi in there, get a bit of the martial arts.
Oh, you've got to.
Storm makes a lot of sense, throw around elemental powers.
Yes.
I can see someone like Ms. Invisible from Fantastic Four. But on the other hand, you might get Kitty Pryde from X-Men.
Yep.
She's intangible. So you could have invisible, you could have intangible, or get the vision and then you've got intangible with flight and all sorts of stuff, but he might be too powerful.
There's a lot going on.
There's a whole lot of that. I don't know. As we hear more, I'll keep you updated.
Okay, fantastic. Look, if we can kind of stay in the Marvel world, but
we should
adjacently, I know what Elizabeth Olsen's doing next.
What's that?
She's going to be doing a limited series, I think it is, for HBO Max. It's called Love and Death, and it's about a notorious murder in Texas in 1980. Now, David E. Kelly and Nicole Kidman are executive producers. Very big on, I think, HBO and also producing a lot of stuff lately. She's a busy lady. So really different to WandaVision. I would imagine it's the kind of thing that she is excited to maybe not spend so much time in front of a green screen for a little bit.
Sure. Less wire work.
Palette cleansing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then getting back into the world of Wanda.
She's off filming Doctor Strange 2 at the moment.
Yeah. So in Love and Death, she'll be playing Candy Montgomery, who is convicted of murdering her neighbour and friend Betty Gore with an axe. Gory.
Ooh.
We know who did it.
So I moved in next door to an axe murderer?
Is Mike Myers around?
Weird.
His hair wasn't great in that
movie.
It looked like a hair curtain. That fringe thing wasn't that, but he's not. I don't know if he's attached.
He's not involved.
I'm not sure.
Maybe in a costume.
Maybe that'd be really good. I'd enjoy that.
Well, look, here's some more Marvel news. There was a new Marvel sizzle reel, I guess you'd call it, put out last night celebrating at the movies and stuff. But there was some new footage included in there. We got a few shots of the Eternals, which is cool, including Angelina Jolie holding a big ass sword.
Because I haven't seen much.
This is the first look.
Because my memory of the Eternals, them walking up on that stage, 2 years ago?
Yep, and there's been nothing since. They've kept it all under wraps. So there's a tiny bit of footage in there, Kumail looking very buff.
Well, he has to, yeah.
Of course. But there was also some reveals as to upcoming films. Black Panther 2 is going to be titled Wakanda Forever.
Awesome.
And how they're going to deal with Chadwick Boseman not being available.
It'll be interesting, but I don't know about you. I don't feel worried. No, I think they're going to do it better than anybody could ever imagine.
Yeah, there's going to be some kick-ass stuff in there.
Definitely.
They also revealed that Captain Marvel 2 is going to be called The Marvels, which is very interesting because there was also a new very, very early teaser trailer for Ms. Marvel, which is the Disney
I saw her in the outfit.
Yeah.
Yep.
Very comics accurate.
Yeah. Even the Converse, right?
Yep. I'm really excited for that show because basically Ms. Marvel and Miles Morales Spider-Man are kind of the two biggest comic characters to come from the 1910s of that. And we've seen Miles really well done in the animated movie.
And the game.
But Ms. Marvel is she's Pakistani Peter Parker. It's awesome. And it's taking that idea of that was, you know, that 60s idea of a kid trying to fit in at school and being nerdy and stuff and putting it today. And she like writes Avengers fanfic. And she's really in, like, she's a huge fangirl before this stuff starts happening. So it's going to have, she's just going to have great interactions with other characters. And so she will appear in Captain Marvel 2, Marvels as well.
Okay, yep.
Along with Monica Rambeau, who we saw at the end of WandaVision, and a Skrull came to talk to her about going up into space.
Yep.
Cool.
Those Skrulls are everywhere.
And then finally on the Marvel news, Taika has been interviewed on Weekend Update or something over here in Australia, And someone said, how's Thor going? How's Thor 4? Love and, what's it called? Love and Thunder?
Yeah.
How's it going? Yes, I reckon it might be the best Marvel movie yet, which he did not talk about Ragnarok that way. He was like, I think it's pretty good. I think we've got a good film here, I think. Whereas this time he's just like, yeah, this one's stressing.
It's really good. It's gonna be really good. There are a lot of famous people
There's
in this
so
as well.
So many people. Well, it's kind of, they're treating it a little bit like Avengers 3.5, but it's space Avengers. Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
So that's a lot of Marvel gear.
That's a lot of Marvel gear. Well, I'm going to switch gears and talk about John is a man who used to be a writer at The Simpsons. We're going to call him John Swartzwelder because that's his name. And he left the show like 20 years ago, but a lot of people still think of his episodes and the
of course, he was the primo dude.
Top-notch comedy writing for TV. And he said something interesting in a New Yorker interview that he gave. He said, The Simpsons did something I didn't think was possible. It got viewers to look at writers' credits on TV shows. He said, when I was growing up, we looked at actors' names and maybe the director and that was it. But once The Simpsons came along, people started looking beyond that. And then suddenly I'm now not quoting him anymore, but suddenly the writers were famous as well. And it was interesting the way he said that they approached episodes and writing them. They didn't cater to kids or adults. They were trying to make each other in the writing room laugh.
Sure.
And he basically said, luckily, a lot of other people, kids and adults, liked the same jokes that we did. So they were able to write in this real flow, you know, like I reckon that's the kind of thing that would be really difficult to happen. But once it happens, you go with it.
Yeah, sure.
Because obviously that's where the gold was. So, yeah, I thought that was really interesting because we all knew that The Simpsons was for everyone, but now we know why.
Yeah, because they're making each other crack up.
Yeah.
For a visual representation of this audio, check out the Watchers podcast on Instagram.
I've got a few renewals and things that are starting up soon.
Cool.
Which is cool. So Young Rock season 2 has already been confirmed, which is great. I'm really enjoying that show. Mm. Invincible has gotten season 2 and 3 renewal.
Yeah.
Off the
They know, knew.
I imagine they're well into working on season 2 already. And a cast that big and strong. Mm. I'm still a few episodes behind. I know. I'm going to block watch it.
Sometimes it's difficult.
It's been a lot to get through. Jason Statham has said that Meg 2 begins filming in January.
Oh, no way.
I am here for that.
What was that, about 3 years ago?
Yeah, about maybe that, something like that.
Yeah. I still remember the poster.
I don't suspect many people will be coming back with Statham, largely because most of them didn't make it out of the film alive. Yeah. So Ruby Rose might show up. I think she got out at the end.
As long as her working days aren't too long.
I believe, I've not written it down, but I think her name is Suzanne Romero, George A. Romero's widow, has announced that Twilight of the Dead, which is the unmade final Romero zombie film, is going into production soon.
Ooh.
That basically everything after Land of the Dead doesn't matter. So that was Survival and I can't remember what the other one was called. Maybe a Day of the Dead or something like that. They won't count within canon.
Okay.
The last one was where Big Daddy, who was the very large African-American gas station attendant, he was a smart zombie and was able to lead a horde.
I haven't seen this one.
No, you wouldn't need to have. It's okay. Got Martin Short. No, God, Martin, that's a different movie. Martin Sheen is like a Trump-style dictator, and there's a giant skyscraper where they manage to keep the wealthy people alive and happy and healthy. And there's a class system.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
And sure enough, people get tired of that, overthrow and topple things, and it collapses. So we don't know too much other than this is Twilight of the Dead, and it's meant to be quite far into the apocalypse, and there's not much hope left. And
so it's like Walking Dead. There's no hope.
There's no hope.
Yeah.
But even more than that, in terms of the progression of the zombie smartness throughout the films and stuff like that, you start with their shambling masses, then Dawn of the Dead, they're copying what they used to do in human life and going back to the shops.
Yeah.
In Day of the Dead, there's Bub and he's learned how to use a gun. Land of the Dead, Big Daddy can control and lead other hordes. So who knows where this one's going to go.
So Land of the Dead had Dennis Hopper in it.
Oh, that's what I meant. Not Martin Sheen. Dennis Hopper.
Yeah. I wonder if that was one of his last movies. I can't remember when he passed away. Oh, no, 2010. And the movie came out 2005.
It has a very brief cameo from Simon Pegg and Nick Frost.
Oh, great.
As a pair of zombies chained up for entertainment.
Please tell me that they were dressed like they were in Shaun of the Dead.
I think they are.
That's good. That's really good. I think
they are. They became friends with Romero very quickly after Shaun of the Dead came out.
Oh, what a dream.
He invited him to come and be in stuff. I met Romero years ago. He was such a lovely guy.
Where did you meet him?
At Comic-Con.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right.
San Diego Comic-Con, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's a dream come true.
He was, just very friendly.
Yeah, I bet.
He gave me a cuddle.
Did he? Oh,
yeah.
Do you have a photograph of
it? I do. Somewhere.
In the world before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Quentin Tarantino. Do you remember a few weeks ago, I think you were talking about the movie theater that was going to close down, and he's kind of, he was trying to get like a group of people to help.
By the Geodesic Dome Theater.
That's it. Well, he also owns the new Beverly Hills Cinema in LA. Now, he's owned that for ages, I think since about 2007 or something. It's reopening in June, which is very exciting for moviegoers and him. It's just kind of a good sign for people in LA because as we know, LA was pretty rammed hard by COVID for a while there. And now that their vaccinations are going up, I'm pretty sure that they can have 50% capacity now in their movie theaters, which is huge, really huge. So he originally bought the theater to save it from redevelopment. It does a lot of double features on 35mm film. Edgar Wright has booked
festivals there and stuff.
I just like the fact that people who work in the movie industry also try to preserve the watching experiences.
Yeah. And I'm glad it's someone like Tarantino and not someone like Scorsese, because Tarantino is he says every film is worth seeing. There's always some moment that was worth being captured, whereas Scorsese looks down his nose at everything and can do one.
he listens to this as well.
He does. Ooh. You haven't made a good film in years, mate.
What was his last film? Was it The Irishman? I sat through about an hour of that.
I just looked up the Action Bronson cameo on YouTube. That was enough for me.
Fair enough. That's fair. Mm. I've got a quick one. You were talking about Young Rock and how it's been picked up for the second season. That was filmed in Queensland, yeah?
Yes.
Well, NBC and Universal Studios Global, they've got a new series called La Brea, B-R-E-A.
Oh, you don't need to tell me about La Brea. This is about La Brea tar pits?
It's going to be filmed here.
Really?
Yeah, it is. The principal photography, visual effects, post-production, all going to be here down in Victoria, I believe.
Okay. I know I said you don't need to tell me. I mean about the actual tar pits. Tell me about this thing.
Okay, cool. So the massive sinkhole mysteriously opens up, families get torn apart, and the whole world goes mad, and people are just trying to make their way back home. Sounds really cool. But this is a huge series. Because of Young Rock, there was another show as well. Like, they're starting to, Universal, are starting to go, we're going to do more stuff here in Australia. And I think that's really cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I got excited because the La Brea Tar Pits is a place in LA.
I haven't been to them.
So it's either the sort of thing that you'd be really interested in, or I'd tell you to go there and within 2 minutes you'd be like, Tom, what the fuck? Why did you make me come here? So essentially they are tar pits that are still bubbling away now from prehistoric times.
Yeah, like dinosaurs.
Not dinosaurs.
Not dinosaurs?
Woolly mammoths.
Okay.
And so it's large mammalia. Right.
But things that don't exist anymore. Correct. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there's packs of saber-toothed tigers that they're constantly unearthing, or Smilodon as they...
I prefer it.
I thought you might. And they have statues of some woolly mammoths in one of the tar pits at the front, and there's a museum on site, and it's a very, very niche paleontology museum. You're not going to see any dinosaurs. So it's like, if you like, you know, Ice Age animals, this is your place. If you're not, I'm sorry. it's incredibly niche. I get so excited to go there. And it's crazy because it's like across the road from the E! Network.
Is it?
It's smack bang in the middle of Production City.
Yeah, right.
And has no place being there. It's like right next to a Big Burger and all this sort of stuff as well.
Isn't it funny that that even though it's right next to all the production, it's being produced in Victoria? What's all that about?
I imagine it will be bloody difficult and very expensive to film around that area because you'd be getting in the damn way.
Yep.
Whereas Victoria, I think it's also to do with maybe, it's not fair to say this to Victoria, but maybe it's easier to get post sinkhole shots that of some places looking barren. Or?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Australia's a big place.
That's it.
No, so that I'm keeping my eye out for this because I think it's the kind of show I want to watch.
Sure.
Yeah.
Bring it on. Yes. Bit of destruction gear here in Australia. I got one more news story and then two trailers.
Okay, cool.
So my news story, and this one's kind of a bummer, but won't really affect us here in Australia at all, but Disney are closing most of their Disney stores. So they'll still keep Disney stores at Disney World and places like that.
Well, I mean, that makes sense, yeah.
And they're going to hang on to a few key locations, including their Times Square store.
Yep.
But
that would make a mint, I would imagine.
And it's a branding exercise and this sort of stuff. But, yeah, a lot of the other Disney stores around the world, because of COVID, largely and stuff, haven't made any money. And they can sell all that stuff online and there's no – yeah.
Isn't that interesting? Because, I mean, I feel like we're not on the back end, the tail end of COVID yet, but there's definitely moves towards it being under control, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. But I think we're now starting to see a real lot of the ripple effects of the change that everyone's made of people just realizing, we don't need that store because Amazon Prime in the US will have that to us within 36 hours or our money back or whatever, whatever Prime deal they have. It's been a big branding exercise, but it bums me out. In Hawaii, they've got a really good one at the Ala Moana Shopping Center, which is nice to visit and grab a couple of things before flying back to Sydney.
Yeah.
This sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I just wonder if that kind of store location would stay open, like the New York Times one, because there's tourism surrounded by it, but maybe it's the ones more in like your suburban mall that's just going.
Suburban mall ones are all going.
Yeah.
And satellite location ones like Hawaii and stuff are all going.
Oh, they're going. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Because it's easier and more cost efficient for Disney to just ship stuff to there when people order. But yeah, I think from what I read, the one in London might stay, Times Square might stay, and the ones on Disney property.
Okay.
Because
makes total sense. Yeah. My last news story is that Donald Glover wants everybody to know he's working on movie trilogy. He's writing three movies. So he's also, I must say, busy filming the third and fourth seasons of Atlanta.
Right.
Which I just want to remind you, he produces, stars, writes and directs. But apparently that's not enough for him. So sometime during the 24-hour day cycle, he's also working on three movies as well.
Isn't he also doing something with Phoebe Waller-Bridges?
That's what I thought. For Amazon, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe that's just acting.
Yeah,
oh, no,
maybe.
Oh, no, they were involved with behind the scenes. I don't know. He's very busy.
Very busy, man.
Well done to him.
Look, you might as well strike whilst the iron's hot, and he's been hot for quite a few years.
Hot.
Hot to trot.
Hot totty.
Did you know that listening to this podcast gives you immunity against energy vampires? Keep listening to We Are The Watchers.
Have you got any trailer news?
I've got two trailers.
I've seen one of them.
Should we talk about that one first?
Yeah, let's do it.
I was very excited for you to see it, and I put it on my list, and I hadn't watched it, so we watched it together for the trailer of Sweet Tooth coming to Netflix on June 4th, which is very close to your birthday.
It's very close. It's the day afterwards. So basically, when America's celebrating my birthday, I'll be able to watch this new Netflix show.
Awesome. So it's based on a comic book by Jeff Lemire. It's from DC, but it's technically from Vertigo, which is their adult imprint.
Oh, okay.
And it's, where they can do a bit more indie stuff. And it's Sweet Tooth. He's a hybrid boy deer. I'm not going to spoil anything on this one. It's not like a comic book where there's lots of reveals and this sort of stuff. It's a really good story. Something happens, and I won't say what, but suddenly all children born are hybrid people animals, and the virus is killing out normies. basically, this story is so we see Sweet Tooth growing up and stuff, but when he's around 8 or 9, he has to head out on a cross-country journey solo. And it's the idea of putting the sweetest, naivest, nice little boy in a post-apocalyptic, horrible film.
This TV series. This series has got my name attached to it in that there's the TV series, and it says, Leah, you must watch this, because everything about that, because it's got post-apocalyptic and the sweetness, almost fairy tale vibe, has a real, for me, it was giving me Neil Gaiman sort of.
You nailed it.
Yeah, vibes.
Yep, big time.
Stardust or whatever that
book
/ movie was called. I think the tone they've got there is a really interesting take on apocalypse where, yeah, things are going to go wrong and people are going to be horrible, but there's this real niceness to it as well, and it looks beautiful.
And there's this weird element that as he's a hybrid, but he's new, and like the other hybrids, maybe he's not the weird one.
Yeah.
That's kind of the story through there of like, maybe he's not wrong to be so naive and hopeful, because he's you know, an emblem of something fresh and new, and perhaps that's the way we can go.
I was going to give away a big spoiler of a book trilogy, but I won't. But I'll just say that there is this story. There's a trilogy where I think it's into the second book. You start to realize that the reason why this one kid has not died out of kind of like a zombie thing, kind of, is that they are the new version, the new version 2.0 of humans.
Sure.
Who can survive this thing and will survive on into the future. They are the new humans, basically. And it almost reminds me a bit of that. But as I started to think, oh, it reminds me of this, I better not say that because it's going to give so much away.
Yeah, sure.
You ever go to read those books. But yeah, this is not far off. I didn't know it was getting made, and it's the highlight of my getting hyped watching week.
Woo.
Yes. Unless, of course, this trailer that you're about to say.
No, nah, it's not for me.
Okay, right.
I'm really excited because the first trailer for Heels, which is coming on Stars.
That sounds wrestling.
It is, yep. Dropping August 15th. So this is the show that is starring Stephen Amell, formerly Green Arrow.
Oh, I saw this as well.
Yes. So I'm extremely here for it. He plays, I believe, a lawnmower salesman, and his brother is who's a quarterback star in high school and his drop kick since then. And the two of them decide to reignite their father's wrestling league. They're from a very small town, and their father's wrestling league was a big deal back in the day, and so they're trying to get it going. And Stephen Amell will be playing the heel, so the bad character, versus his brother as the face, and it just looks like my jam.
Where's it appearing?
Is that on Stars?
On Stars, okay.
They did Party Down. They did American Gods.
So we might get it on Amazon?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I think so. But it looks great. I know he injured himself a couple of times during the show because he's doing all his own wrestling stunts.
Oh, okay.
And,
Oh, do you know what I would love? If we get a few sneaky cameos from some of the actresses who were in Glow.
Sure,
that'd
I could definitely
cool.
see that. I could see CM Punk is going to be involved. A couple of wrestlers that are big names
nice.
Are going to be involved.
Yeah, cool.
And stuff, but yeah.
Okay, so you'll definitely let everyone know. Yeah. I've got an interesting quiz for you coming up a little bit later on that I did in the space of 5 minutes, and I think I did well, and I think you're going to go
You
well.
Stand by it.
Ha ha ha. But first, we have to do some watching suggestions.
Let's do it.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Let's save fear till a little later on.
Sure.
Later down the track, because I have been watching a few things that are a bit different. I was looking at my list and I was like, oh, the stuff I'm watching is very different to each other. So first off, very much enjoying, I think I'm into the third season or something now, of Kim's Convenience.
Sure, yes.
Great show. So nice to put on when you get home or when you're making dinner and just watch a couple of episodes. They're just so likable.
What sort of vibes are you getting from the show? Can you describe what sort of other sitcoms it might be like?
A touch of Superstore. You've also got There was this, surprisingly enough, it was a Canadian show. It was called like Gas Station or something. And it was all set in a small town, and everybody that would go into the service station at this petrol station were locals, and they were all a bit quirky. And it's got a bit of that in there as well. A little bit family sitcom in that it's, four of the main characters are a family, and it feels Canadian.
Sure.
If you know what I mean.
They apologize a lot?
A little bit. I just love them all. Every character's great. Even the people that are just peripherally showing in and out occasionally come in as recurring customers. Even when they come in, you're like, this is going to be good.
Nice.
Yeah. I reckon you'd like it. It's real chill.
I keep meaning to get to it.
Me too. It took me ages to get onto it. And then Netflix kept going, you sure? You want it? You want it? You want it? You sure? And I took Netflix's recommendation and it served me well.
Well done, Netflix.
Yeah.
Good recommendation.
And then you've got like 5 seasons, so you've definitely got a nice amount of episodes you can pour yourself into. Mr. Kim's great.
Tidy. I'm going to do a very unusual thing here.
Okay.
I'm going to talk about something that I've only watched half of. I'm enjoying it that much. Netflix movie The Mitchells vs. the Machines dropped on Sunday or something like that. Like, I'm sure I've told you about it. So it's Phil Lord and Chris Miller, the guys that did Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. They did Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Yep.
The Lego movie.
Yep.
This movie feels like all of them smooshed together.
Okay.
It's the story of a girl. She doesn't quite fit in with her family. She's never quite enjoyed school much and this sort of stuff. And she's just been accepted to film school in California. And she's ecstatic. She's about to, she's had her last night at home. She's about to fly out to go there. Her and her dad have a fight. Her dad is voiced by Danny McBride.
Oh, yeah.
The mum is Maya Rudolph.
Yeah.
So you're already interested.
I'm in.
And they have this big fight, and the dad, desperate to connect one last time before she goes, cancels her flight and says, we're driving you across the country. And that's all good, well and good. While this is happening, she's very excitedly watching a company called PAL, who are very clearly Apple. Eric Andre is their CEO.
Okay.
And he's meant to be Mark Zuckerberg mixed with Steve Jobs.
There's an Eric Andre vibe.
Yes. He comes out very excitedly. He's like, remember a few years ago when I came out and I introduced you all to PAL, P-A-L, the best Siri-esque personal assistant ever. Throw that in the trash because here's the new one. We've given them bodies. And humanoid androids come out that are servant bots.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And needless to say, the old operating system, PAL, voiced by Olivia Colman, is not happy about being considered, obsolete.
Yeah.
And maybe kicks off the robot uprising.
Bloody Olivia Colman.
While this family is on their cross-country road trip, and the dads made them ditch phones and this sort of stuff. So they maybe don't find out about it straight away. But it's one of those stories of like, can the family come together to save themselves and potentially the world?
Ooh, okay.
Things go really badly very quickly.
I do remember you talking about this now, and I'm fascinated.
But it has that Lego movie insanity of jokes and Spider-Man style drawing over the top of the animation.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, it's very cool. She's as a film student, she's constantly making little movies, and they're just like silly throwaway shitpost meme type stuff. But like done in this style, it's very crazy. So as I said, I haven't finished it yet. We had normal stuff to watch last night,
I haven't finished
the film yet. I'm enjoying it that much that halfway through, I feel the need to tell everyone this movie's great.
I don't know why, but my vague recollection of you talking about this a while ago, in my head it was a series. It's good and bad that it's a movie because, you can get it in one, you can watch it in one go, but it's bad because if you want more, there isn't any more.
Well, it did originally have a different name and it was going to cinemas last year and it has Netflix acquired.
Okay.
That sort of stuff.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, the other show that I wanted to discuss was one on Amazon called Frank of Ireland, and I don't want to shock you, but it's set in Ireland.
Who does it star?
Brian Gleeson.
Who's he playing?
Domhnall Gleeson. Brian's Frank.
Oh.
Domhnall's Doofus.
So there's double Gleason.
Yeah, more Gleasons for your cash. I'm trying to think.
Let's have a drink break.
Let's have a drink break.
Having a drink break. Not going to cut this out of the episode.
Staying in. Ah, refreshing.
Ah, we're both drinking Coca-Cola.
Yes. My Coke bottle's name is Ben.
Mine is Revhead.
Oh, nice. Anyway, Frank of Ireland.
Mm.
I think there's 5 episodes. I've watched 3, so downhill stretch, unfortunately, because it's very good. Frank is horrible.
Right.
He's a horrible person who spends a lot of time not doing much. You're introduced to him in the first episode where he has been asked to sing a song at a funeral.
Yes.
He calls it a gig. And then starts to freestyle the song instead of just singing, "My Lord, Lord is my shepherd."
Why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't you? Very, very funny show. It is exactly the kind of show that if you imagine, oh, what kind of show would Leah like? It's this one.
That,
it's 100% this one. And I'm sad that there's only 5 episodes, but I'm hoping that they release more. It's only been out a couple of weeks, I think, set in Dublin. Watch it.
Interestingly, I just had to confirm, Brendan Gleeson's character's name in 28 Days Later is Frank.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Frank the taxi driver.
Well, doofus, I can't get his role from Ex Machina out of my head when I see him in this.
Sure.
Because he's playing a really stupid character in this one, funny, and then I just see him in that, and I'm like, but you were in... That movie was a lot. Yeah, watch it. I reckon Tom, you would like it.
Sure.
Mm.
Ha, ha, ha. I think I've talked to you about this show, but not talked about it on the show. But I've been watching a documentary series called The Food That Built America.
Mm.
And it's like, you know, the history of various industries. And the one that I will give a big plug to was Pizza Wars. It was very interesting watching the beginnings of Domino's, or Dominic's Pizza as it was known at the time, versus Pizza Hut.
Yes.
And basically the way that they made pizza popular, because American pizza is not Italian pizza at all.
Ask an Italian.
The Pizza Hut brothers bought a restaurant without being cooks or knowing what they'd cook. And they just so happened to stumble on the idea of pizza because they needed stuff that was very, very ingredient cheap, and literally stumbled into the recipe for their dough. They had no idea what they were doing.
Thick or thin?
So super thin. Uh-huh. And originally, they pretty much just did margarita.
Mm-hmm.
Pizza Hut's thing was every restaurant needs to feel the exact same. So no matter where in the country you go, you feel like you're walking into a proper Pizza Hut.
Yep.
Experience.
Yeah.
Domino's was all around efficiency.
Mm.
So Domino's was two brothers, and they argued. So one of them quit the business and traded in his shares for full ownership of the Volkswagen that they used as their delivery thing. If he'd hung onto some shares, he would have made 800 million or something like that.
Oh, I'm in pain for that bloke.
It really hurt.
Wow.
But yeah, the guy that managed Domino's is ruthlessly efficient. And, mm-hmm. and you know, originally they were a restaurant that did sandwiches and pizza was on the menu. And then there were 5 different sizes of pizza they did. And he's like, nah, we cut all that, cut the sandwiches. People ringing tonight, just try this. Tell them there's only 2 sizes tonight. You have the small or the large, yep. Margaritas only. And boom, that went really well. And then they were delivering and they were getting crushed by Pizza Hut to the point that the Pizza Hut brothers came to him and said, we know you're struggling. We'd like to buy your business.
Oh, really?
We're willing to offer you nearly double of what we've assessed your company's worth. And he just said, thank you. This is a very generous offer, but this is my baby and I'm going to see this out. Whether I sink or swim, I'm going to stick with it. And the maniacal Pizza Hut brother, I won't say maniacal, but like the brains behind Pizza Hut, shook his hand, looked him in the eye. He said, I congratulate you. That's a wonderful decision. I'm coming for you.
Jeez.
And then the other Pizza Hut brother was like, don't worry about it.
Yeah, he always does this.
Competition is good for both of us. Yeah. This is a very reasonable thing. But yeah, reenactments and stuff like that. It's really, really interesting show. And there are, I think there's 10 episodes in the first series. So there's cookies and there's burgers. And
I was going to say, have to be at McDonald's.
The ones you'd expect to be in there are in there. But then there's also, like, there's a really interesting one about chocolate and the Hershey and different stuff like that. And almost every single one, it's someone stumbling into something. It's never someone who sat down and said, I'm going to take this thing I enjoy and bring it to everybody. It's always, what's something I can market? And it's never that happy-go-lucky story. It's someone wants to be rich and famous.
So they got it's similar personalities. Yep.
And it's driven.
Yeah.
I don't know about how much you know about the beginning of McDonald's, but
yeah,
that's really like that. What was that? The founder with Michael Keaton.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Fantastic.
I think
movie.
I've listened to a podcast about it.
He plays Ray Kroc.
Right.
And is just every bit as slimy and backstabby as you'd hope. Yeah. But yeah, so that's the food that built America. There's also food milk built America bite size, which is like a re-edited version of season 1 and then just a little 20-minute.
Oh, cool.
Find out about one specific thing.
Yeah, I like that idea. That's a really, that's not a thing shows do.
No. So, and it's kind of funny because I've been watching Dark Side of the Ring Confidential, which is the expanded version of the original episode. So original one was 42-minute episode. They're now hour and a half. And that's, you know, lots of talking and everything and behind the scenes stuff. Whereas this one is the absolute opposite flip of that. They strip out a lot of the reenactments and it's just the facts. It's
fair.
If you don't want to spend an hour on this.
I don't want to watch that. Yeah, I just want to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds really cool. Speaking of cool, what do you think of a movie where the two leads are Idris Elba and Kate Winslet? You're like, oh, that sounds like there's a lot of acting skills going on in
there.
Sounds
like a movie Leah would watch.
I would watch that. So I decided to give, I remember seeing the trailer for it, The Mountain Between Us, you know, where they're on a plane, it crashes. And
they're very hungry.
Yeah, they've got to go places. For two people who are amazing actors, and they were really good in this. The movie basically was a whole heap of plot storylines that you imagine is going to be in a movie about a plane crash where they have to try and find.
It's a little bit formulaic.
Yeah.
Help. Checks the boxes. Is there a bit where they fight a wolf or a bear or some sort of large animal?
Look.
Does she get cold?
There's a bear trap. She gets very cold. They all get cold. But there's one thing where there's a dog, right? And the dog was on the plane. And what they keep doing is they keep saying, oh, no, where's the dog? The dog's gone. And you're like, oh, and then the dog comes back. It's one of those ones where they're like, the movie could have finished a few times and it didn't. And then it finished in a really weird spot.
What a great review of a film. It could have finished in a few spots and then there was a spot when it did finish.
But it felt like it finished halfway through what they were trying to get through. It's fine, but I think
because... What was it called?
The Mountain Between Us.
The Mountain Between Us.
Like it was fine, but I think because of the two actors that were in it, I expected more.
Is that implying that they're both valleys? If there's a mountain between you. I guess it could be plains.
I guess so. Mm. Yeah.
Sorry.
Don't apologize.
What a weird thing to get caught up on. Sorry about that.
The Valley Between Us. I'm sure there's a movie about that as well. So Mountain Between Us, if you want to watch it, it's there. If you don't feel like watching it, we won't hold that against you.
Go looking for the dog.
Yeah. Poor dog. It's fine. No, don't worry. Is it gone? Oh, it's come back. Oh, it's back. That's the movie. Anything else before we get into the fear?
I was going to say Falcon done, which
it's
is a shame.
Done.
There was a very cool assembled episode, which is the behind the scenes one with interesting stories and stuff. It is worth watching only for the fact that they made Daniel Brühl playing Zemo, the bad guy. They made him film a fake commercial for a store called Suitcovia. He comes from Sokovia. And it was if you want to look like me, you come to this store, they dress you very nice. Like it's hilarious. It has no part in anything.
But it belongs worthwhile. In
there. So that was great.
So with behind the scenes, were they talking about how COVID changed
some
things?
It was an awful lot of things. And like they were meant to be filming in, I think it was Puerto Rico, and they had things set and built and ready to go, and there was an earthquake, and they got it all fixed, and they were ready to go, and there was another earthquake, and Disney was like, I don't think we should film here.
Yeah, something's telling us.
So then they went to Prague, And a week later got shut down for COVID for 6 months. So, yeah, there's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that's cool like that.
I've not watched any of those. I should. I like that kind of stuff too.
It's worth it. It's worth it. You know what was worth it this week?
What?
Fear the Walking Dead.
Do you think you enjoyed it way more than you should have because last week was so...
Last week sucked. it sucked. Look, it was nice to have a new setting. It was nice to finally get some insight on these people that have been teased for so long.
So long that I'd forgotten they existed.
Well, there's been all these sorts of hints coming. So by the end of the episode, we understand now those plague rats that were set loose in the tower earlier this year were probably done by these guys, yep. This sort of stuff. It seems that their gear is they just want to wipe everything out, start fresh. But I saw the opening credits and like read the names of who was going to be involved, which I generally try not to do. I got very excited, very excited to see Nick Stahl there, who was the interviewer guy. He was John Connor in Terminator 3.
Oh, that's where he's from.
So he was from that. But the name I saw first was John Glover, and I spent the whole episode going, oh, here we go. Now, John Glover is from Scrooged. He's from Gremlins 2. He's the executive in that. He also played Lionel Luthor, Lex Luthor's dad, on Smallville for 10 years. So as soon as I saw that name, I was like, oh, he's going to be a crazy cult leader. And then by the end of the episode, he came in looking very Manson.
There was nothing else he could have been looking like that.
Exactly.
What did he want with Alicia?
I think the fact that he heard the story of Madison sacrificing herself and then Alicia doing the exact same damn thing, he's looking for people prepared to die. He's not looking for people necessarily prepared to kill.
Definitely in this world, you end up finding new groups and they're all a bit crazy. Like that's the Walking Dead, Fear the Walking Dead, like everybody Walking Dead vibe, right?
Yeah.
New group, absolutely batshit crazy. These people, yes. But they kind of had like their act together.
They really had their act together. And like, sure, they believed some bullshit, but like, surely they could look at Morgan's group and point the finger the exact same way back of like, wait, you keep killing people. You keep taking down other societies. You're following someone who keeps flip-flopping between different beliefs.
Yep. Oh, no, it's okay because we killed Virginia and everybody she was surrounded by.
Yeah, heaps of people wanted her dead. It's no problem.
Like, yeah.
All right, that's one take.
Thank you. We did see at the end of this episode a lot of them sort of separating. Some people have their own missions to go on. We're looking for Beer Lady. Dwight did say, if you don't check in with me, I'm coming looking for you.
So there's another
episode. I'm assuming that's what's going to happen.
I read an interview with the showrunners and they said that we may not pick it up straight away, but we will be back to that storyline very soon.
Okay, cool.
What's going on with those guys.
Nice.
But the next week's episode is unlike any Fear episode they've ever done before. Apparently there's going to be pink trees and psychedelics, which makes sense if hopefully we're getting a bit of John Glover. If we're getting a weird cult leader, maybe that's his whole deal is dropping acid or shrooms or something.
Yeah, he's growing something other than whatever capsicums or whatever they were growing.
I don't know. It's very cool.
That is very cool. Oh, yeah. Okay, great. So we sat through a crappy episode to get a good one.
Yeah.
Now we get to sit through a quiz.
Whoa.
I watched a Kate Winslet movie, as you know, and she likes to do different accents in it, and I thought it was interesting because Idris Elba was playing an English person, but she was playing an American in the mountain right. Between us, not the valley, the mountains, but whatever the
yes.
movie. I've already forgotten. So now our quiz is, where's she from? Where is her character from in these movies?
Who? Nicole Kidman?
Kate Winslet.
Sorry, I don't...
You didn't even go with Emily Blunt, who I think if you're gonna get two people confused, it's gonna be Kate Winslet and Emily Blunt.
I don't know. We were talking about Nicole Kidman earlier.
True, true.
And I don't talk about Kate Winslet often.
No, we don't. I don't either. So now this is our opportunity to
great. Let's do it. A
Kate appreciation quiz. Where was her character from in Titanic?
England? Somewhere fancy? England?
America.
All right.
Where was Kate? I'm not going to do that in everyone. Eternal Sunshine of Spotless Mind.
America?
She was American, yes. You know, I had to actually go and watch a trailer for a lot of these because I couldn't remember.
Sure.
The Holiday. Do you remember that one with Jude Law? I think it's got Cameron Diaz in it. Jack Black's in it.
I remember thinking it was the talented Mr. Ripley. Getting them confused.
Oh, really? No, yeah. A very different movie. It's a Christmas
Kate Winslet,
movie.
Where's she from in that? Spain?
No, she was English.
Okay.
Sense and Sensibility. That's an easy one. Throwing it to you.
Is she English?
Yes. All right. Rather. Did you ever watch some? No, you wouldn't. I didn't either. This one's got Johnny Depp in it. That's why I know you haven't seen it. Finding Neverland.
No, I didn't watch that.
It was based on a real story.
And it's based on Peter Pan writer.
Yep.
So English?
Yep, English. And finally, this is a new TV series. So it's not a movie. Out at the moment. I think it's for HBO. It's called Mayor of Easttown. Where is she from in the Mayor of Easttown?
Easttown?
What country? I'll give you, it's between England or America.
America.
Yeah. I don't think England would have an Easttown.
I thought she'd have, yeah.
See, there was one called The Dressmaker, right? Yes. And it was an Australian one set in the 1950s. And she sounds English, but I'm pretty sure she was supposed to be Australian in it. And I went, should I put that in? And then I went, nah.
Nah. Very Australian. Nah.
Nah. And thus concludes the quiz for today. I think 50%, do you reckon?
I don't deserve it.
We never count, so it doesn't.
Kate Winslet, Kate wins less. That's me.
On that note, Tom, thank you very much.
Draw me like one of your French girls.